Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all. And that's how we start our podcast, with a cough.
Yeah. Greetings, Podcastville. Kick that mule, Lee.
Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschool Podcast, and I'm here with my guest, Darren Carter, and my co-host, Kevin Lyons, is not here with us today. He's packing. He's going back home to be with his family for from now all the way through 4th of July. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't blame him if he never came back.
That's right.
You don't know what's going to go on 4th of July, dude. Just be with your family just in case you never see him again.
4th of July is, I thought it was going to be further. I thought you were going to, it seems a little hot right now. I feel overmodulated. We're in the red.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say he's going to be, he's out, he's going home and he'll be back this Thanksgiving or something. It's
you might as well.
Yeah, you know, where's home for him?
Boston. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you know, they got shit going on too, but there's shit going on all over the world. So if you're going to be somewhere, be with your family.
Yes. Yeah, I got to tell you though, usually when I get here, it's been, you know, you're like, "Hey, can you do it?" And I'm always trying to push it, like, after traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And anyways, today it was like 7 o'clock, and usually it's 25 minutes at least, and it has me going, you know, zig and zagging. This is a 9-minute drive today.
Was it really?
9 minutes.
I have noticed that traffic came back a tiny bit, but not at this hour, though.
Tonight was pretty cool. Yeah. So, you know, I've been spending, this is crazy that we're, this is awesome, crazy awesome that we're doing this again, because this is the last, you were the last live podcast
I had,
like one-on-one, like doing this, and that was back in March, and then here we are again, and it's almost July. It's crazy.
It is crazy, dude. Normally time flies, which it sort of is, but it's also just, it's going real fucking slow this year.
Yeah, you know, they get their hopes up where we're like, you know, like this is looking good, and then you'll get like some bad news, like this is looking bad. It's like,
yeah,
you know, I gotta be honest though, like for me, one of the low moments is when they shut down the hiking trails and the trails and the Griffith Park and all these different parks, the public park, the golf courses, where you're just like,
yeah,
wow. Not that I golf, but just like, wow, this is really becoming a ghost town.
Just shutting down, like,
you know,
like, it's just sad when they're trying to shut down people's livelihood. And,
yes, and the light, like, you know, like Uncle Joey says, we're coming up on a fourth month of that rent's due.
That's right.
Wow, we're not making the normal, you know, amount of...
So everybody's on edge.
Yeah, they are on edge, right?
Everybody's on edge.
Tell them what you told me about your neighbor. He's in his own...
Oh, yeah, my neighbor was just next door over here, and in his own garage, and some lady walking, which is in the alley, by the way. It's not even like on the front of people's houses. It's in the alley in the back, and a lady was walking through the alley and yelled at him that if he's going to be within 6 feet of her, that he needs to put a mask on. But he was in his own garage, and how could he even know that she was going to be walking down there?
Right.
And I think you're right, dude. I think that people are just on edge with the virus, and now it's making a comeback with the riots, with the, you know. By the way, can I go on a little rant? I didn't even do my sponsors yet, but let me go on a little rant for a second here.
Do you want to do the sponsors in the rant?
No, because I'm in the moment now.
Okay.
I'm going to do a little rant for a second. Stop making it weird out there for black people and white people.
Yes.
You're making it weird. You're not really solving anything.
I know. The divisiveness, it sucks.
This is me speaking. Not Darren.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to say anything that he doesn't agree with, but if you go back and listen to my last podcast, you know how I feel about it. You know how I feel about...
What kind of podcast is it?
you know that I support the term and meaning and phrase Black Lives Matters. I support what it means. But what I'm saying now is something completely different. You're just making it weird. All you're doing is making it awkward. When I walk by a black guy, now we look at each other like, is he one of those? And he looks at me, is he one of those? And we don't know. He doesn't know if I'm one of the white racists.
It's just,
I look at him, is he one of the violent black guys? Like, we're just looking at each other going like, which one are you? When before we were walking by each other and we were saying hello to each other. I'm not a racist. I walk by black people all the time, and I would, right now, I'd fucking hug you if you weren't worried about the 6 feet. A black person needs a hug right now because they're at a crossroads of like, I want to support my people and change the world, And at the same time, they're like, I got white friends too that are fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like, I want to hug a black person right now, but you got the 6 feet rule. Like, you're just making it awkward out there. That's all you're doing.
I really get tired of the divisiveness. It's like, and that's been happening for a while, but definitely right now, it's really happening. It's, you know, like, it seems like every headline, it's almost like they have like a radar where they can't wait to put out this thing. Oh, you guys, quick. There's a hot spot in, Des Moines, Iowa. A white guy shot a black guy, or a black guy did this, or this. they can't wait to show like some footage of some diversity of making that's gonna make people mad though. You know what I mean?
I was talking to my mom today, and my mom is she gets a little. My mom's a worrier. My mom's a worrier in general before COVID. My mom is just a worrying person, and nowadays she texts me all the time about something worrying, and it's stressing me out. She's getting stressed out by somebody else, and then she's downloading it on me. So I just try to tell her, I'm like, there's nothing you can do about it. And stressing out ain't going to help. I told my mom today, just turn the news off. I've never heard a news story of them go, this just in, COVID test came in negative. Like, that's not you're never going to hear that on the news. But there's like, majority of them are negative.
It's very tempting to want to see what, you know, like sometimes I won't have Twitter on for a while. Like I'll run or do something, and a couple hours goes by and I'm like, I wonder what's trending on Twitter. And it's like,
I know.
I don't know why I do that.
It's boredom.
It is. And it's usually like alarmist. And you're in the habit of scary, already. It's usually like scare stuff like, and I'm like, why is that trending?
To pass the time, you just open Instagram every now and then, browse through and stuff. Yeah. It's just like this. It's like this little addiction, actually. It's like you got to absorb the.
There's always the latest. I don't even know what it is today, but there's always like the latest story. And it's always like, this happened. And then it turns out that was a hoax. And then this happened. And then this person said this. And they've got to be canceled. And we got to cancel it. And I'm just like, gosh.
And you know, on Instagram that you know, they got the stories on top. And you have your favorite people that you will actually open their stories.
Yeah.
Most people, you don't even open their stories.
Right.
But you have your favorites that you know this is going to be good. You absorb it in.
You know
what I mean? And then Instagram catches on to that, and they start showing you only those first. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I do, dude. I get in the habit of just being bored, and you just go, let me open Instagram. And you need to get that like, it's like doing a drug. Let me see what they're saying.
Have you had this happen yet where there's people that you like and admire, and that's why you follow them, and then you're like, wow, why is this person constantly posting political stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't choose to follow them because of this. I followed them for other reasons, and they're, you know, usually the motivational stuff or whatever. Now they're just like, it's like every time I look at their stuff, it's like bringing me down, man. It's just like another stat of something that's sad happened, and it's just like.
I made a joke today. Online, where I said
that's another thing. People are not in the mood for jokes.
They're not in the mood for especially if I'm doing political jokes. Which, by the way, I'm not a political comedian. You see me on stage. I don't talk about it on stage. But if I think of something I think is kind of funny, I'll put it on social media.
Yeah.
So I said something today. I said people that say defund police still can't figure out how to use self checkout at the grocery store.
Funny joke.
And they think that they're going to rely on themselves.
Yeah. I thought that was funny. I get it. I know what you're going because I know you and I know where you're coming from. And it's like. Yeah, and would that did that cause any?
Dude,
a
comedian.
Oh no!
Which I'll tell you his name after.
Yeah.
Hit me up, and we had a long argument today. I think I lost a friend.
Oh really? I hope not.
And he goes like, "That sounds like you're a Trump supporter." And he came at me, and I was just like, "Bro, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat." I go, "If you can call me anything, you can call me the liberal conservative. I suppose like that's what you could call me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I just see right and wrong, and I make my own judgment call." But he's like, "You're a Trump supporter." He's like, "He goes, and you supported Joey Diaz." He goes, "So you're a fucking what do you call?" He goes, "You're a white supremacist, misogynistic." Yeah, he started coming after me at that. I'm like, "Wow, dude! Once I tell you the name, you're gonna go like, really? That guy said that to
I'm
you?
I'm gonna forget though. I'm gonna forget."
Because this dude, I told him this too. I go, "Bro, you're the most unstable person I know in comedy."
Yeah.
And I go, "And several people
I know this person?"
Yeah. "And several people have told me that you have physically abused women." So I go, "Why are you coming at me like this?" If I was, and I go, "And you opened for two of the guys who are being accused right now. So if I was you, I would just be lay real low."
Oh, I think I know who it is. Okay, never mind. Yeah, that guy's like, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, he says really, listen, there's things that people are saying out there that are really like, is the word vile, just awful, gross stuff where I'm like, you know what I started doing? I actually started unfollowing because I'm like, why is it bringing me down? And I'm sorry. It's like, if anyone gets their feelings hurt, like, why did you unfollow me? I'm going to be like, you know what? There's a couple of reasons. It's, and I don't need to like see their negative messages.
I'm not going
to
unfollow just because, first of all, when I end up being right, I'll rub it in their face. And then, secondly, I don't want to unfollow because I'm not going to let like politics or what's going on in the world get the best of people I've been friends with my whole life.
I give people a, you know, I give them three strikes. Like one thing, I'm like,
that's
okay,
a good rule. That's
the
a good rule.
Two, okay, you know. The third one, I'm like, this isn't bringing me joy. This isn't bringing me happiness. I'm going to unfollow. And maybe I'll circle back and... I like that phrase. That's, I'll circle back, you know, a month from
that's
now.
That's true.
But for right now, and I love this. I learned that from Sam Tripoli. He tweeted somebody. He was getting into a back and forth with somebody, and then it was a friend, a comedian, and then, I don't know who it was, but he goes, you know what? I'm going to save our friendship and unfollow you. Because he likes him in real life. He just doesn't want to deal with this BS.
I like that.
You know.
Yeah, man, because sometimes, like, listen, what, like, you can judge me all you want, but there's something about you that's getting me down. And if you're bringing down my quality of life, I just need you, I need to block you for now.
People are too right now. They, you know, there's this thing where you know, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah,
we think like this, and you think like that, and I got to be honest. Sometimes things happen, and I'm like, ooh, I'm glad I didn't put that out there because I thought that was the right thing to think, and everyone, some of these people are like, no, you know.
I said to the guy today, I go, I got to end this argument with you. I go, because the more you talk, the more you sound, the more you prove I'm right. And I'm sure the more I talk, the more I prove to you that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So we got to just end this.
And then I'm not the type of person that wants to you know, be angry online with the words there forever and just curse. Mm-hmm. Some of these people don't care. I don't know if they have no family that follows them or they just don't, they don't care. Then they just curse all the time, and
I mean,
you
know, I curse a little bit on my podcast, but I don't know
but
if you noticed.
Like, can I curse right now on this?
Yes.
Like, I'll see people writing stuff.
Well,
like,
this is a swap cast, so your people will hear this too, right?
No, I'm going to edit it for mine, but for your dirty little listeners.
Okay, go ahead.
Beep, beep. Why don't you eat a bag of beep?
Have you noticed on my Instagram when I post something where I had a curse word that I put I censor it? Have you noticed that at all? Mm. I put the emoji of the curse.
Oh,
the
like
guy
that.
Cursing. I put it like blocking the word.
Oh, what do you mean? Like for a video or for texting?
No, my posts on Instagram, my stories and my in the actual feed when I because my thing is on Twitter is I'm uncensored on Twitter. I curse a little bit more.
Everyone's curses more on Twitter
because Twitter's dirty.
Yeah,
Twitter,
yeah.
You can literally show your asshole.
You're
you
like,
can show your dick.
Like,
you can show your balls.
Like, good morning. And then somebody will be out there. What's so good about it?
Yeah.
You know?
Twitter just lits porn videos up. Like, Twitter, you know what I mean? Twitter is dirty. And none of my family's on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I do curse on Twitter. But if there's something that I want to share on Instagram,
yeah,
I take a screenshot. I post it on Instagram. And then I put the little curse
emoji that.
Guy.
Oh, it's smart.
Over the curse word.
What's the curse emoji guy? I wonder if I have that.
Well,
I
sometimes
do.
I use the one. It's like a red face of somebody yelling,
yeah,
but
yeah,
he's
yeah,
got all the exclamation points. In
yeah,
front of his,
yeah.
Or sometimes I use the shh one.
That's good.
And I put it like in the middle of the letter, so you can still see the F and the K.
Yeah, I love it. That's good. Well, what I was gonna say is, I mean, I've seen people, and you have too. They just, I don't even know who these people are, but they'll just like say the most like, I hope you burn in a wreck, and you and they just curse, and I'm just like,
how about this
what
one?
What is wrong with society? You don't talk
everyone
that
doesn't wear a mask, I hope you get corona and die. How about that one?
And then they'll go into more details about how they'll die. And I'm just like,
Because you really justified your righteousness in that statement, huh?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either, man. The world's going crazy, dude. And
you know what? We got to you know what? I find when I'm not the first one to say this, but when you get physical, when you get the energy out, it really does help. I mean, there's times when I pretty much work out almost every day on some level, on something, and it's like, and it helps, man. Like, if you can just get your heart rate going and get that sweat and get that exhaustion.
You hit the punching bag?
If I can hit the punching bag, when I'm at the farm, I hit the tires. I stacked up a bunch of tractor tires.
Right.
You know,
You got a sledgehammer you hit the
tire
with?
No, you know, I got a pickaxe. We don't have a sledgehammer, but I got a pickaxe. And so, I do like 25 in the dirt, you know, like, and then I...
Oh, that's good, dude. Dude, you're really good about that
it's
stuff.
It's so good. My arms are looking big.
I know, your arms, look at you.
I got to watch the belly area, but like even my son was like, your arms are getting big. Like,
your arms are huge,
dude. I'm going to flex for you guys watching. Look, I don't know. See, I'm white, though, so I'm so pale, it's not really showing, you know. Like.
No, I think you look good, bro.
This is sad when you're like looking at your own
You know
muscles.
What's sad? You're my goal.
Yeah, that is pretty sad.
I would love to have muscles but a little belly.
A muscular Homer Simpson.
I'd love to be able to be like, I got a little belly, but look at these muscles,
look at
these, though.
Look at my muscles. But yeah, I do the boxing, so I go
That's
to the...
great. Your boxing gym open?
It is.
They're open now.
It's open, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how public it is.
You got to wear a mask inside?
Yeah, no, well, a couple of them do. But it's like, you know, I usually go when it's not busy, and it's, you know, you're away from everybody. And it's great, man. You know, I get in there and there's something about hitting that bag and
yeah.
And
make sure you wear your mask and... to the boxing ring because you don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me, but yeah. When I'm out there at the farm, I'm just, you know, I'm punching the tires. Like literally, it's like, you know, you're just like, and real. A lot of it is just the exhaustion from your arms, mm-hmm. just like trying to like punch something for 3 minutes. Even today, like I shadow box and I put my gloves on, and a lot of it was just for 3 minutes. Can you? You know, just keep your arms moving. I mean, it's incredible how
that's great,
that'll
dude.
Get you tired. You know, even I'll go to, you know, I go to like Griffith Park, and you know, where I've been to Runyon, but I prefer Griffith, a little bit less people where I go, and I like to go all the way to the top and just really, I mean, you know, I push myself, and it's mm-hmm. funny because I'm not fast because I was running like, you know, up the hill. And this 20-something-year-old just zipped past me. I'm like, oh, gosh. Like,
but I like that about you, man. You've, like, last couple of years, you've been, like, so on it. Like, so, like, whatever you can do as long as you're doing something physical.
Totally. And, you know, and I tweeted that earlier this week or posted it or whatever. And I said, today's Monday. Do an extra mile. Mm-hmm. Do an extra set of push-ups. Stretch for an extra 5 minutes. Do something. And I challenged myself.
But you're right, man.
I was like, you know what? Let me put the little pedometer thing on my phone, that app, and I go, I did 5 miles the day before, you know, walking and,
you're
and,
not wrong,
and slide
man.
Jogging, and I did an extra mile. I actually went further than an extra mile, but I told myself I'm going to go an extra mile.
Do you and running?
Walking and jogging for
okay.
that one.
Okay, yeah. Cool. You have one of those little
when I'm at the
watches?
No, I do. It's like an app. It's like one of those apps you can okay. get on your phone. I used to, but then when you know it, like the second week of the lockdown, my Fitbit broke, and I was like, well, I guess they really don't want me to take steps.
My wife is in the market for a Fitbit right now, and she has a Fitbit, but she has like the narrow one that's like least expensive, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then but she wants to get one, I think, like the one that you had, right? Like that was like more the bigger face.
Yeah, I think I didn't have that one, but I know
but that one broke too
about.
They just yeah. break, huh?
Yeah, they break. They do break. And it's like, it's, you know, it's more, I don't even think it helps you lose weight. I think it's more of an OCD thing where you're like, I must get those steps in. But now I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'll just turn the app on my phone when I'm actually exercising.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at like everything else, like going to the, you know, the store, walking, you know.
Did yours tell you your sleep patterns?
If
like
you,
how many times you woke up
if
in the
you
night?
Set it up for that, but I didn't want to sleep with my watch on. I'm
yeah.
like, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Because it does have that pulse that goes ding, and I was just like, you know, I don't know. I don't like sleeping with.
Oh, like
Fitbit on.
With gadgets on.
Yeah, it's like
I gotcha, dude.
Do you play tennis? You do play tennis, huh?
Yeah.
If you we should connect sometime if you want. Like we could because I got my racket now.
Even though I'm not very good.
Yeah. Can you get a volley going?
Yes.
So that's another thing that'd be good. Volley.
I could, dude. You want a volley?
Yeah.
I'm your guy.
That's good. That's good. Because
I didn't know that you didn't play with me this whole time because you didn't have a racket. I have an extra racket.
Oh, you do? No, I did. I didn't have my racket in my car. My friend goes, "You want to play?" And I was like, "I don't have my racket." But I got my racket again. I got my racket. I got balls
okay, cool.
ready.
There's a couple of things I want to yeah. talk to you about. But real quick, let me take a second here. Not that that was a big opening intro. You know what? We're going to do the sponsors in the middle of the podcast. You guys, do me a personal favor. Head to homeschoolpod.com. Make sure you stay on there because that's your one-stop shop for everything homeschool podcast. And it helps you to promote this podcast and support this podcast. So you can get tour dates on there, which there's very few right now, but you can get tour dates on there and you can this way you know when we're coming to your neighborhood. You can click contact and you can literally send me an email. I do answer those as soon as I can. And you can click on merch and pick yourself up a t-shirt. We have new t-shirts coming out when we hit episode 300. Brand new t-shirts will be out. I already saw them. They're awesome. And then also you can click on sponsors and see all the sponsors that support the podcast if you're looking for other ways to support the podcast, like Puffy Mattress. This episode is also brought to you by Puffy Mattress. Puffy Mattress, you guys, is the America's number one memory foam mattress that gets delivered to your door with 100% money back guarantee. For you could sleep on it for 101 nights. And if you realize that you don't like it, you send it back for 100% guarantee. A lot of these places offer guarantees like that. I've had a couple of those mattresses that were terrible. And yes, they did honor the guarantee. I mailed it back. They were terrible. But then when I got Puffy Mattress, that was the mattress for me. I've never been happier. And right now, they've extended their Father's Day program. So you can click the link in the description and you will get $300 off your Puffy Mattress plus a king puffy pillow, which just makes the whole thing worth it. The whole time I was on the road, I was thinking about my mattress at home, to be honest with you guys. All right, so the link for Puffy Mattress will be in the description, as well as homeschooledpod.com, where you can pick up a t-shirt and just keep in touch with us.
I thought you were going to say you were thinking of your pillow when you're on the road. I'm thinking of my king mattress pillow, but you're like...
Oh, the pillow. I was thinking about the pillow too, dude.
You're thinking about the mattress and the pillow
that it came with, bro. It's just the two of them together. It's like the perfect night's sleep.
Don't let your wife hear that part. The whole time I was thinking about my wife? No, my mattress.
I couldn't help but think about jumping into bed with my pillow. I'm sorry, Darren. I know you called me a couple times last week. I was on the road. It was a tough week for me last week, bro.
It was exciting because you guys were on the road, and I was going to, yeah.
I was in Phoenix, Arizona. The shows went great.
Yeah.
All things considered, the shows went great.
Yeah.
And, but I was just in a place, dude. I was just trying to focus on the shows, and the whole thing came out with all, you know, the Me Too going after comedians, and a couple of comedians were, you know, personal friends of mine. The last episode I did a whole thing on that. I already talked about that. So, but anyway, dude, I was just going through like a whole thing and trying to just keep it together to have good shows. Not to mention it was my first like gig back performing in front of a live audience, and you're worried about remembering your act or if your timing's going to, still be there.
Yeah.
And, it all went great. But just everything overall.
Was there what was the order? Like a host and then?
Host, me, and then Jimmy Schubert.
That's good. So there was a host where you're like, okay, I'm like, he's warming them up. Or she's, yeah. Whatever, they're warming them up and then.
Yeah, totally.
How did it feel? Like okay, first of all, when we did that little, I don't know what that was, that virtual TV show special.
Oh, the Laugh Lounge app?
Yes.
Yeah.
I felt like that was the closest to being on stage that you could possibly get compared to like
a live stage.
Yeah.
A live audience.
Or those shows where they're like, open up your laptop and, you know.
I agree with you. I think that those laptop Zoom shows are not for me. That thing that you and I did together at the Laugh Lounge, that was the closest to it. That was pretty cool. And that one made me feel alive again.
Yeah.
But performing in front of a live audience again, it definitely made me feel alive again, not only to perform in front of a live audience, but to also feel fear again. And you know, when you're a new comic, and like you've been doing this a long time now, Darren, so the fear's not necessarily there as high as it was when you were younger.
But I know exactly what you're saying. I swear to you, that especially the first 5-10 times, I would just like all day, I would just pace my room, think of what I'm going to do, look at my set list, get nervous, sweaty palms, have to use the bathroom, it got closer to showtime, it's almost 8 o'clock, nervous. And I remember even back then going, I cannot wait until I can just roll out of bed and go be funny.
Be afraid.
Nerve-wracking. And then, of course, that goes away fairly quick, you know, for me anyways. Like, they went away pretty quick. But I got the nerves back when we did... when we did that Laugh Lounge like app show,
right?
The nerves back,
dude. I did too. And those are different kinds of nerves because you're like, can I be funny in front of a camera and no audience?
I wasn't nervous. For me, I wasn't nervous about that because I'd already kind of done that before. Like, a friend of mine, he's like, hey, I'll pay you guys to come down, and he paid us pretty good to actually do comedy in his garage, and he was live streaming it, but he's got a huge live stream audience.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and he put up like a GoFundMe, so people paid the GoFundMe, and he's like, laughter is the best medicine. Think of this as a house call. I'm going to have comedians come down.
Oh, cool.
And so...
So did you perform in front of the other comedians in the camera?
No, actually, it was even better because the other comedians, they were sort of in the garage. Like, I don't like performing in front of other comedians because I just don't like to, you know. They're not going to laugh. They're going to be thinking about their own set. So it was even better. I mean, there might have been a couple comedians in the backyard, but I don't think they were really paying attention. It was right. See how your camera's right there? It was like that, but behind, like where the was like a giant like a flat screen television, and you saw all the hearts. You know how people can hit the hearts like for when something's live, and he was there. His wife was in the garage, and there might have been like another person. So that's all you need is really one person laughing.
Yep.
You know, and now you got two because it was him and his wife, and then the third person, and then I'm seeing And also the mic had speakers, so it sounded like you're on stage. Like it had that.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't just like, okay, your phone. I mean, it sounded like you're on stage with the amplification. And then you'd see because he has a big following, you'd see all these names and the hearts. And it was great. It was great. You know, like that was the closest until I did that show that we did. That was like, wow,
right.
It's even better. But
yeah, man. Yeah, stuff like that seems pretty cool.
I was afraid that I was going to get lost. Like, there was a time, I'll tell you, the reason that when I get the nerves, I never go blank. And usually when you do blank, you can just, like, kind of talk, and then you'll find your spot again. Your mind will catch up. But that was my fear. My fear was that, you know, for that show that you and I did, that I was going to go into this sterile, empty room, and they're going to be like, do your time, go. And you're just going to be, like, performing to a phone. And,
yeah. And feel that awkwardness.
You know, they say that, you know, I interviewed Tom Dreesen for my podcast. They can check it out on YouTube. And he said that, you know, an audience, I don't care if it's a magician, a juggler, a comic, a musician, an audience, there's like an energy that goes through, energy. But when there's like, you know, five people over here, three people over there, the comics over there, two people, the energy doesn't carry. It's harder to get that energy. And, you know, and that's how, that was my fear of, you know, being in like a solo room with like no energy.
Right.
You know, how was it on your road gig?
Man, it was great to be in front of an audience again, a live audience, even though the first show was Thursday, which, as you know, Thursdays are not as busy as the weekends. But it was just great. It was great. I don't care if there was two people there, it would have been like, oh my God, people I can perform to.
Yeah.
And you know, the feeling of, like we just talked about, you know, fear that you used to get when you were a newbie.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes away. But then every now and then it comes back when you're trying a new joke because you don't know how it's going to go. So you still get that fear a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that again. Like, I was having a fear of if I was going to remember things and if my timing was going to be and how was the audience going to accept it. And so I did have that fear and it felt great. It felt great to be afraid again.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was starting stand-up all over again, like my first time ever at an open mic, but I was actually good. Like, don't you wish you can go back to your very first open mic, but with what you knew now? You'd be, everyone would be like, he's a genius.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I talked way too fast. I was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great, dude. And then, you know, Friday and Saturdays were great shows. So I think
the first show was the one where you were a little bit like, am I going to be rusty? What's going to happen?
And then I was worried I wasn't going to remember everything.
And then you just locked. By the second show, were you like back in business?
Yeah. By the second show, I wasn't too worried about remembering everything, but I was worried about what if I want to throw something in that wasn't on the set list and then it's going to throw me off and I'm not going to remember where I was.
Did you do anything new? Like where you're like, I've been wanting to do this quarantine thing that I thought of in April.
Not really. I only used quarantine once or twice to segue into bits that I already work.
Yeah.
You know, stuff with relationship stuff and stuff like that. But I did do something kind of about race.
Oh, boy. See, that's – let me tell you, before you say that, I remember any time a joke is new and any time it's about race, it's super – you got to have a lot of confidence because I'm kind of timid when it's a new joke. I don't care how – professional and loud and I'm confident, but when that new joke you get, because you're kind of remembering how does it go and you don't want to mess up the words, so you're a little bit, I'm a little bit timid on my delivery. And then on race, I'm probably a little bit even more timid because you're really trying to eggshell and if you don't say it right and if it gets less than a laugh, then the rest of your set, in your mind, you're like, it bombed. And then it makes it extra weird because it's race.
Yes.
You know?
So what was happening, can I just tell you something real
quick? So about a month after Kramer had his meltdown on the Laugh Factory stage, I was at the Laugh Factory on the same stage, and I said some silly little pun about lactose intolerant, and it was some joke about, but it had the word black in it, though. And so I said, da-da-da-da, and like, it didn't really get a laugh, and I was just like, argh. And then I remember this chick in the audience, she goes, too soon.
Ah!
And I was like, okay, so anyways.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh man, that's when I realized new joke and racial race, don't do it. And I honestly, it's like.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just, no, I'm pretty much done doing it. Yeah, I'm tired of like, I don't want any barriers anymore. Like, you know, I used to do a lot of like, you know, stuff about growing up and this ethnic and this happened and this. I feel like now it's like people are too sensitive. I'm just like,
well,
you know,
I wouldn't consider myself a racial comic, but I do have a couple of things where I do.
Yeah. Usually it's bringing people together, right?
It's bringing people together.
It's like,
and this is my point again on my rant earlier about you're making it awkward out there.
Yeah.
Where we have to pretend like I don't see that they're black.
Right.
Or we have to pretend that that they're the same as us. Because I'll be racist if I think they're not the same of us. We're all fucking different, man. Like, we're all the same, but we're all different. Like, and we have to accept everybody's cultures. Like, I was thinking, like, one time I had to go to fight a ticket in court, and it was so funny how, like, the judge would say, like, if I say your name, stand up. And then when you stand up, I will say if you are dismissed or not. If you are dismissed, that means that you're free to go. You don't have to pay your ticket. You don't have, you're not, no fine. Doesn't go on your record, right? And I'm just sitting there. My last name starts with Z, so I have to watch everybody else go first. So I'm watching everybody else go up, and then stand up, you're dismissed. Or stand up, wait to the side because you'll have to talk to us. Stand up, you're dismissed. And then he called up this black lady, and he called her name, and she stood up, and he goes, "You're dismissed." And she goes, "I know that's right," to the judge. And I laughed so hard. That's not racist.
Right.
That's acknowledging that we're all different. And some people are different in a cool way.
Yeah.
Like, gay people are fucking different than you and me, bro. They talk different. They you know what I mean? Like, like, I got a cousin that's gay that says wild shit, bro. He says wild shit that you and I would never even think of. It doesn't mean I don't like him. It just means he's different, but in his own cool way. Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. It's like, it's not that we can't talk about it. Well, you're making it awkward. It's like, we can't talk about it. Like, we're all different. Let's own it. And so what I'm getting at is that I'm not a racial comic, but I do address certain things like that. Like, I think that courtroom story I might make into a bit one day.
I did this corporate gig once, I remember the lady. She was so nervous. She was jiggling. She was like quivering, and she's like, "Please, it's only 30 minutes. We can get through this." And she's like, "Please don't make fun of other ethnicities or imitate the way that other people talk and the way people look. Don't talk about." And I was just like, "Wow," you know. And after that, I was like, "You know what? I'm just gonna. I think that the signs are you know,
fucking corporate gigs, man."
Yeah. I know, dude. I was like, wow. And that was 2016, I think.
Wow.
But I remember, because I used to do a lot of stuff about, you know, like 2009, 2010.
The comedian in me would have gone up there right after him, but like, what the fuck is up with this way this lady talks? Everyone probably would have laughed, except for her.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Oh. Did you see that thing that Bill Burr just posted the other day on his Instagram? Mm-mm. How he kept this piece of paper.
Oh, I saw that,
when he was working a college show, and the lady who booked college show passed him a note on stage that said, what did it say, like, do 5 more minutes and then get off?
It said, please only do 5 more minutes.
Because she didn't like Nancy, the way the show was going. Yeah. I think it was Lisa Brown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How cool is that he kept that all these years?
That's the thing. I have another friend that does it. He has these, and I'm like, anytime something hurts my feelings or I think it's like bad or like pisses me off, I'm just like, I throw it away. But that's smart to keep that, because then you'll laugh at it years later.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yes. Keep it, because, you know, look at where Bill Burr is now. He was able to laugh at it.
Yeah.
He probably laughed at it then, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have a joke about emojis in different color hands, like black hands emojis. It's a pretty funny bit. People usually like it. And then I have another one where I talk about apple picking, and I say, like, I say only white people do it, and if you see someone there who's not white, they probably work there. And then I say, like, whoever invented apple picking, I hope they're black, because that's the ultimate revenge on white people. So I do kind of address things like that. So in Arizona, Thursday show, I played it safe because I was scared.
Yeah.
But Fridays...
You played it safe? What did you do? I changed apple to cotton. I better play it safe. Cotton's quiet.
No, I mean, I played it safe with not trying those ones.
Oh, yeah.
And then just sticking to my set list that I wrote out.
Yeah.
And just to see if my timing would be there and if I would remember everything. And then, like, I think it was Saturday early show or something. And maybe it was just Saturday early show and late show. I did those. I actually did those jokes. And it got a little quiet. Because with all, you know, like the woman from The Laugh Factory that said, too soon, a month later.
Yeah.
This was a little too soon for me to be talking about black people with what's going on right now. And I got really, really, like, tense in the room. And I just went, what's up, guys? Why'd I get so tense in here? I can't talk about black people? I just said that to them. Yeah. I just kept it real.
Yeah.
And then I went into this whole other thing about about how my family never owned slaves because we were broke. Like, you know what I mean? And then I went, like, see, if you get all tense on me, I'm going to make it worse. That's what I told.
Dude, I am done with that stage in my career. I used to do stuff like that because it's fun and it's like, yeah. And, but a lot you get nervous and, and there's a chance that there's a big payoff or it could bomb. And I, for me, I'm just like, all right, that ain't my, you know, I just, I go, I'm trying to just go, keep going safe.
But I had, like such
when I say
solid
safe,
bits,
it's still
dude.
Funny, but it's like
I had such solid sets and stuff that I knew that even if I lost in there, I can get them back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because like, dude, my second half of my set is fucking monstrous, bro.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, I that sounds like so douchey to say.
No, it's true.
I'm normally a very humble guy.
Yeah,
but honestly, the last like 5 bits of my act are like, dude, there's like 2 stories that are great that people just love them.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, I know even if I lose the audience in the middle, I can get them back in the end. You know what I mean? The majority of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never know. There's going to be a chick that's going to be like, I'm offended. But and then I'll tell you what, Sunday, also Sundays are known as being not a great crowd. When I was in Arizona this last Sunday was like the most fun I had with an audience. And by Sunday, dude, I was trying new bits.
Wow.
I was throwing some new bits in there that I had thought of during quarantine and just threw it out there. Like, I have this new bit about like machines replacing men, and then women complain that they can't find a good man. And it's like, yeah, because you're eliminating like what men were, you know, like, and then I use an example of when it's hot out, a man is supposed to go outside a little bit early before you leave, turn the car on, turn the AC on, so it's nice and cool for your wife when you get in. I go, now it's Alexa, start the car. You know what I mean? And then I go, like, Uber Eats, like, the man's supposed to go pick up the food. So I used a couple of these examples, and then I say, like, Alexa's trying to I go with Alexa, what are OCD people supposed to do? Like, Alexa, lock the door. Alexa, are you sure you locked the door? Alexa, double check. Did you lock the door? You know what I mean? So I tried that one.
Alexa,
I tried a couple.
Why aren't you picking up, Alexa?
Yeah.
Alexa, pick up.
And it was Father's Day, so I threw a couple of those like man stuff and how real fathers should act type stuff. So I just threw in some new stuff, and it was so fun on Sunday to try new things.
Yeah, see, and it's weird what the real man type stuff is. This is today's day and age. Alexa, change my picture on Facebook. Alexa. Yeah.
That's a man.
Alexa, block out the curse words on Instagram. Put an emoji of an angry face. Alexa, you know. Alexa. Yeah. Make sure people are 6 feet away from me as I don't wear a mask. Yeah.
How are you doing, man, with all this? I mean, you're only a stand-up comedian, dude. That's all you do, right?
Yeah.
What's going on? How are you surviving? How are you paying the rent, dude?
It's between...
Is your wife a millionaire?
I know, right? It's like between the money that we've saved and the little bit of royalty checks that help, you know, pay the bills and stuff. It's like, thank God I put out 4 albums all by myself and don't have to split it with a record company, you know? And it's...
Do you get checks monthly for those albums?
Absolutely.
Like once a month?
Fortunately, I do. Yeah.
Nice, dude. You know, it's nice to have 4 albums out there.
It's nice. It's one of those things where, you know, I put out my first album in 2000, and I didn't even think about albums until my second album was 2000. 10 years went by. Because,
wow, 2010.
Because I was like, well, I'm just selling them at shows. And people were like, well, people don't really listen to CDs like they used to. And so then I was, you know, like, I switched over to like DVDs and stuff for a while. And then I remember around 2008 or 7, 2000, somewhere in there, people were like, oh, you can get paid. You need to like fill out this form. It's, you know, anytime it's played on like Pandora, Spotify, SiriusXM. Although I don't think Spotify was popular back then.
It wasn't.
And then I realized like, wow. Then you started getting these checks, especially that first check. It was like, whoa. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, like, we talked about being clean or not being clean. It's like, I look at someone like, I mean, of course, there's only very few that are at the tippy top. But look at someone like Sebastian Maniscalco. Like, how great would that be to have, like, we'll just say an hour. I'm not going to say hours, but, like, just an hour of, like, killer, funny stuff that can be you can do anywhere. Like,
it's clean.
From what I've heard, he does curse, like, once or twice during a show. Mm-hmm. Am I right? I don't know.
I would say.
I think he does.
I would say once or twice max.
Yeah, because I think of him as being a clean comedian, but I do remember, and I was like, oh, wow, I forgot that he did. But,
He's one of those guys that he's so clean that when he says a curse word, it can be a punchline because he never says it.
Yes, exactly. Somebody told me that they listened to his podcast and that he was telling his partner, Pete, that he's been doing corporate gigs via Zoom. he's a Zoomedian or something. Mm-hmm. I take a shower, I put on the dress shirt, I come over there. It's like, that'd be cool to have, like, your bits are so solid that they're funny and they're clean. You know, that's why I'm like, oh, man, like stuff about race and stuff, I'm like, what's it going to lead to? Like, for me, you know, I'm like, it's just going to lead to, I don't know what it's going to lead to.
Yeah.
It's a weird time, you know, so yeah. I try not to even write that kind of stuff.
You never really established that was you in the first place. Yeah. You have to kind of, I think, be a comic that's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to talk about whatever the fuck. You have to kind of be one of those guys that's, and then your audience is going to kind of find you.
Yeah.
Like, even Louis C.K. never lost his audience, even after he got Me Too. They fucking still support
him. Did you
him.
Sell merch in, did you try to sell merch?
No. In Arizona?
Yeah.
No.
Nope. Did anybody?
No.
Really?
I thought about it. Yeah. I actually have copies of my brand new comedy album.
Why didn't you didn't even want to, or?
I forgot them at home.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, my comedy album is being postponed because the warehouse at CD Baby is closed for coronavirus.
Oh.
So the warehouse that makes the physical copies is done, and they actually mailed me my physical, but I only got 50 of them.
Because you were on Johnny on the Spot on that, right? You put that out. I mean, you were like working on it the first month, I think.
In the first month of lockdown, I go, well, this is what I'm going to do. And I edited it, and I got it done, and I send it off to distributing. I now have my copies, and CD Baby is just like, they're just like, our distribution warehouse is closed, so we can't receive the physical copies to forward to, like, XM and Pandora.
That sucks.
I mean, they're saying they anticipate after summer that the warehouse is going to be open. So if that's the case, I will be looking at a nice holiday release.
I know. It's supposed to be Father's Day.
It was supposed to be a Father's Day release.
I want to tell you something kind of funny. So I did my first live show, and I sold merch. By the way, I played an outdoor parking lot.
Oh, cool.
And, dude, you know how it feels bad when people don't buy your stuff? They, like, kind of walk by and look down. That's whatever. Who cares? It's okay. I get it. You don't have to buy my stuff. Imagine, like, when you say, I'm going to be over here, and they say, goodnight, everybody. It's almost like, gentlemen, start your engines. I mean, there was people that, I mean, you're seeing these cars start up and, like, drive away, and you're like,
yeah.
Okay, I guess they're not going to. But I did. A couple people did come over to the merch table and stuff. But
they drove up.
Yeah. I'm like, is this friendly? They're driving a little too fast right now.
You should have did like a little drive through.
No, they walked up. They walked up. Okay. In fact, one couple was like, can we get a picture?
And okay.
They didn't
cool.
touch me. So I was like, I did that whole thing where you point like this, like,
you know,
point to them. And
you know what I was going to do, man? I was going to make masks to sell instead of t-shirts. Mm. And I actually had my t-shirt guy all ready to go. And I was going to have masks made.
Yeah.
Some with my podcast on it. Some with
yeah.
I was gonna write placebo mask, which I think is pretty funny. But
that's good.
Last minute, I was starting to hear that Arizona might close again. And I was like, you know what, dude, hold off. I'm not going to print these and pay all that money, and then I'm not going to sell any.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what if they cancel the whole show? And I don't know what I'm going to work again. So I just went like, you know what, this is my – I'm barely coming back to working. Let's not invest too much money. So I just didn't do it. But I had my CDs. I could have brought with me. I completely forgot.
And then if you don't have a lot of shows, you're going to be like, I got all these masks. And
yeah. Like, you know. And then I'd be selling CDs that aren't even out yet. I'd be like, hey, these aren't even out yet, bro.
Well, you know what I do, man? I've been putting out – I've been continuing to put out one podcast out a week, but I've been stepping up my YouTube channel and putting out like 3 to 4 videos a week. And
but are you going back to like old stand-up videos?
That's one thing I've done, but I need to do more of that. People really like that. And then I've been putting out my like video podcasts. Mm-hmm. I've been putting out like, you know, I finally got monetized, so that's cool. You know, you gotta, it's a step by step. It's like you have to have 1,000 hours. I'm sorry. You have to have 1,000 subscribers, which I've had for a while. But then the hard part is you have to have 4,000 hours of watch time within a 1 year or 12-month period. Mm. And it rolls over. So you're like, you might be almost there and then, Yeah. So it's like, so I finally got the 4,000 hours, you know. I finally got one video that took off and that helped me. And I'm just, you know, I just keep fanning the flames and putting out more videos. And in the meantime, and by the way, after you get monetized, apparently from what I understand, then your first check doesn't come until you've reached $100.
So what does monetized mean?
Monetized means that you can get ads will be on your different videos. Mm. And also it'll open up your channel to do even more things.
And you can get paid off of views.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not until you've reached $100.
No, 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 no. As soon as you become, as soon as you get the 1,000 subscribers and the 4,000 hours of watch time, people will be more.
Right, but they won't actually send you a check until you've accumulated $100 worth
of.
Or,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but you have to be.
Well, a lot of the sponsorships on my podcast actually work that way.
Yeah. So you, but you just want to get qualified to be monetized.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, man. And I really want to get to a place where I'm releasing more stand-up clips, and it seems it's like I don't how, like, I can't perform anywhere.
I know. Luckily, you know what?
I have some great videos from Arizona, actually.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. I have a hard drive full of stuff, and I like an extra from some shows that I like, some really good shows, and then I have a lot of crowd work stuff, and then I have some I went to the crates and I found this old DVD of my set from 2004.
Wow.
So I released one video last week, I think, and it's great. If anything, I'm learning how to be a better like vlogger and YouTuber, you know, like the old me would have just like, oh, here's a funny thing, and like just uploaded it. Now I'm like, no, I introduce it almost like I'm a VJ, and then I do a little commentary afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
And also there was one point where you could barely see my hairstyle, so what I did is I just I knew they'd want to see it. I mean, it was, I'm bald now. This is 16 years ago, so I learned how to like scan my photo and then cut to do a cutaway. I mean, it looks good. I'm learning what I'm doing, you know.
That's awesome, dude.
I got to interview a boxer that I know. He got to fight on ESPN for a title. He actually won. I introduced him before the fight. I interviewed him before the fight. Then I interviewed him like a week later after he won the title. ESPN at the MGM. They were quarantined.
What's his name?
His name is Adam Blue Nose Lopez. Yeah, he's a featherweight, 126 pounds.
Wow.
And I learned how to do this. As I'm talking to him, we're talking about the strategy of because one of the things that he's good at, of many of his weapons, is he's fighting you. You know, he's orthodox, left hand first, you know, pa, pa, pa. Then he switches and he starts fighting you southpaw. And a lot of boxers, they don't know how to fight a southpaw. That's why you'll see a lot of southpaws go really far in boxing. And then by the time they figure out that he switched stances, then he switches back to traditional, pa, 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 you know. So as we're talking, I go, that's strategy. It's almost like
you're... Isn't southpaw this hand?
Southpaw is your normal... Southpaw is your right hand. That means your orthodox is your... Is your left hand is your jab and your power punch is your right hand.
That's
and then,
normal.
And then southpaw is when it's the opposite.
So your left hand is your power.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever see that movie Southpaw?
I never saw it.
With Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, is it good?
It's pretty good. It's kind of sad, but it's good.
Right now, I'm just trying to watch Happy Things. Yeah, seriously, don't you think that like I'm not really in the mood to watch like sad stuff right now, but anyways, let me finish this. So as I'm talking to him, I go, oh, that's like a magician, you know, you're switching stances up, you're doing these tricks. I go, and it's like, it reminds me of chess and how there's strategy with chess. Like I notice when I do like speed chess, like when I play my 1 minute games, like the blitz games, I'm making moves and kind of like almost like distraction, like I'm doing a couple things over here. And they're focused on that, and then I can go into the back door and win. And as so, I figured out as we were talking about this, I cut to some footage of me with an Adidas tracksuit and a sweatband, and I act like I'm doing like speed chess, like dar, dar, dar. Like that's something I didn't know how to do like a month ago, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
I kind of cut away and make the videos a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah. You know? Something to look at, you know, something to watch. That's cool, dude.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just. Becoming a...
Are you putting them on IGTV at all?
No, I'm not.
No?
I could be, but I just... I'm like,
I think if you do something like that where you're...
Yeah, maybe
when
I
you
should.
Cut to yourself...
Yeah.
You know, speed, doing chess stuff, I feel like that would be something funny to put on IGTV.
Okay, I'll probably do that. Maybe I should do that. I've kind of...
Drive your IG people to your YouTube.
Yeah, I've been more focused on YouTube than I... Because I...
But you're going to get views on your YouTube from IG.
Yeah.
You know, you put
it's
your...
It's funny, like
a
couple years ago, I was really focused on Instagram. And
yeah.
And I was like, how about TikTok? Are you into TikTok?
Not at all.
Me either.
Not at all. I ain't downloading it. That's how fucking China spies on you, bro.
I know. I don't want to. I don't want it. I know. Although yesterday I saw somebody on the news, and apparently she did some viral video, and it was on TikTok. So, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought it's all, to me, TikTok, it's, I'm like, it's just like something 12-year-olds will laugh at, you know? Like,
yeah.
Look how dumb I am.
Dude, you got to watch out for stuff like that. You know those games on your phone? Like, you ever trying to like do something on your phone, and then you'll get an advertisement for a game?
Yeah.
And you're just like, hey, this, I'm bored. This looks like a fun game to do while I'm on the toilet. And you go to like download it. I actually, be careful with some of those guys. I actually like actually read the disclaimer when you download those. A lot of those are fucking Chinese-made games, and they're China-made games.
Wow.
And the disclaimers on there is that like we'll have access to your other apps on your phone to see your data and where you, what websites you visit and stuff like that. And just like, whoa. So like when they advertise those games, it's like, how do you guys make money? It's free to download the game. That's how they make money, dude. They steal your info once they're on your phone.
It's really weird, man. You can go down that rabbit hole. You know, I was thinking about that, like, during this whole time of, like, China. And I thought, what, when we get masks, I'm like, what happens if they, you know, what if it is, like, biological warfare? What if they, you know, put something in these masks and we're like, I'm protecting myself. But meanwhile, you're putting this stuff up. And you know, I was thinking about this. And I was about to put my contact lenses in, and I realized that they were made in China. I'm like, wow. What if there's cameras inside my contact lenses and everything I'm looking at?
Yeah, dude.
Some guy in China's watching it.
Most people must be wearing those contact lenses because they're all fucking blind with what's really going on.
Yeah.
Dude. And us comedians, we really are all learning a lot from Sam Tripoli these days, aren't we? It's funny how like he's been saying shit for years and everybody always called him crazy. And now it's all kind of coming true. And we're just like, fuck, tell us more, Sam Tripoli. Us comedians are like starting to believe it and stuff. Right. Yeah. Right. Like, you know what pisses me off, dude, about the fucking Me Too movement? And they came after all these comedians. Some of them, maybe the comedians deserve it. I don't know. But I know the ones that definitely don't. And it's like they came after, like, oh, the Me Too movement coming after this comic. And it's like, we've been telling you that there's a pedophile thing going on for years. We said it. We've been telling you that the Hillary and Bill Clinton are involved. The Gates family is involved. The Obamas are involved. Fucking Epstein Island and all the people that traveled there. And it's like, we've been telling you this. And you said, you guys are conspiracy theorists. And whenever I say something about it, people go, send us the link to your statistics. It's like, dude, there's no statistics. There's just common sense. And then now you guys want to like start coming out and saying like to comics saying that they're pedophiles. It's like, we've been trying to tell you that they're out there. Like, fucking comedians are small potatoes. Go after those big guns. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm so hungry. When you say small potatoes, I'm thinking.
Well, I'll let you go, bro. I'll let you get some dinner. I'm trying to eat right. I was cooking some really good, delicious, healthy food in Arizona for Jimmy Schubert. I don't know if you saw some of those pictures that I was posting. I'm a pretty good cook, bro. I'm a pretty good cook.
And did you get that one grocery store that's near the club?
I did make a trip to Albertsons, but you know
what? Oh, big.
Yeah. You know what we did, dude? I have a really giant cooler, and some of the stuff that I knew that I liked to cook with that I couldn't get down there, I put it in the cooler, and I packed it with ice for the drive over.
Cool.
And we had, dude, we had good food because I'm pescatarian now. I can't eat meat, so I only eat fish, and I'm not going to buy Arizona fish. So I went and got salmon where I usually get it from, where it's so good and fresh, and I packed it with ice in the cooler, dude. And
nice.
And then as soon as I got there, I put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
Dude, I made almond-crusted salmon
with
coconut broccoli and blue cheese-infused macaroni and cheese. Another night I made...
Oh, that sounds great.
I took another salmon that I brought, and I made salmon burger patties.
Wow.
And I did those with, like, asparagus, and then I put those on buns with a fried egg on top.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, go look at some of the pictures of stuff I was posting. Like, I can cook, bro. Like, Jimmy Schubert was like, he's like, that's it, you're my new feature from now on. You keep cooking like this.
Dude, I love the road. Times like that when, like, you're on stage, you're making money, you have self-worth, you know. I hate to say it, but I do. Right? It's like, do you feel that way? Like, you're you know, like, all of a sudden, you know, what's the word? Essential, non-essential. Like, it's like, not that your self-worth goes down, but it's just like, gosh, this is a weird, you know. That's why I'm like, you know what? What can I control?
Right.
And I can control another interview, another edit, another podcast, another upload to YouTube, let me create, let me write the stuff down, get it out there, put it out there, because that's all I can control.
I think that stand-up comedians are essential.
We are.
And stuff like, that you're saying, even if it's as little as like a YouTube video that you're putting out or something, whatever moves you is art.
You know what? And when you get that feedback, I swear to you, it feels so good. And it's like, okay, good. We are, you know, you probably have some of the same fans. There's a Christopher McRae. What's up? Shout out. Sometimes he'll message me and be like, hey, I'm going to drive to the Palm Desert. He goes, I got 3 podcasts locked and loaded and I'm ready to rock, man. Thanks for uploading today.
Well, tag him in this and tell him you gave him a shout out.
I will.
But I did feel good.
Like that, I know exactly where you guys played and I'm like, and I know where you stayed in that resort. And it's like, I love the road, like in small doses. I don't want to be out there all the time away from my family, but in small, like that is perfect, right? You're on stage, you guys are eating, you're hanging with a good friend during the day, you guys are laughing it up, you know, and you've been there before, so there's no like, you know, there's no questions of like, like I don't know where, you know where everything is, it's the best.
I get a little worried.
It's those little moments. Yeah.
Like, I get a little worried being away from my family for a long time, especially with all that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, last 4th of July, I was in Minneapolis, and we had a giant earthquake in L.A., and I was so worried that I wasn't there with my wife and the dog if something went wrong, to help. And this
Did you call home and check on the mattress and the pillow?
Of course.
Make sure the mattress and the pillow.
Oh, yeah, they were okay. No, I didn't have them at the time. But no, like this time I was in Arizona, and I just, with all that's going on in the world, I was really worried about being far away from them. I really miss my family. But it is good to get out, and I haven't done a comedian hang in so long, where you share a condo and you bounce jokes off each other, or you just bust balls and laugh. And I was cooking, and Jimmy Schubert made pizza, like we cooked for each other, and we were working out every day in the gym, and we went to the pool every day.
So cool.
But yeah, it did feel good. But I missed home.
It's good.
No, and called you on the road on the way back. Did you get the voicemail?
It was too late, and I couldn't talk. But
did you listen to the voicemail?
That was a really funny voicemail.
We were like, hey, Jimmy and Augustino, calling you back.
I was like, wow.
I'm sorry I called you late, buddy, because what we do is...
You didn't want to fly. You were like, let's drive.
We figured with all that's going... Plus, clubs budget is tight right now, the comedy club's budget. They ain't paying for both of us to fly out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just go, let's save money, share the gas, drive, pack the cooler. And then,
I have a gig coming up at the end of July, and I'm like, I was thinking like, should I drive?
Where is it?
Sacramento. But I always fly. I'm just used to flying.
I'm so sick of driving long.
I know. It's
I'm so sick of it, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to fly. But then again, I was thinking like, I don't really know the people that they seem like good guys, like the promoters and bookers, but I'm like, do I really want to be in their car and them driving me around? Like, I think I'm just going to fly and rent a car.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's smart, right?
Yeah, because then you can rent a car from the airport. You don't have to Uber or anything.
Yeah, because it's like at one night Sacramento, one night Stockton, and it's like, you know, it's nothing against the guys.
Just fly in and out of Sacramento.
Yeah.
Nothing against the guys.
Yeah,
I like being on my own when I'm on the road.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Jimmy about this. Like, when I go on the road, I don't want to go do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go hang out with you in the day. Unless we're in a city where there's some really cool, like, museum that I've never will get an opportunity to see again. But mostly people hit you up and like, let's go do this. And it's like, guys, I don't want to promise anything. I'm getting prepared for my shows.
Yes.
And then the next day I'm tired from the last show and I want to get my workout in and do the stuff that I had planned for me.
And then sometimes the energy of the small talk, you know, like I remember one time I flew to Omaha and then they picked me up to take me to Lincoln. And I don't like the small talk.
Yeah.
It's energy, you know? Like,
I always like having my own car.
Yeah.
I was just, dude, I'm done with Ubers. Like, the other day, my car was in the shop, by the way.
Mm.
And I have 2 cars. One of my cars was in the shop, and then my wife needed the car. And she's like, well, you can just Uber. And I'm like, listen, I'm sorry. I don't do Ubers anymore. I'm just sorry. I'm not going to do Ubers. I don't like someone driving me around. I like my car. I get in. I listen to my music. I do what I want.
Yeah.
I turn where I want to go. I take the route I want to route. Well, there's a better way over here. I don't give a shit. I go the way I want to go. You know what I mean? I just like to do my own thing.
Yeah.
I get really car sick when other people drive and the way they drive.
Yeah. I'm into going slow and cautious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not into like, got to get there. I got to go 80. No, I don't.
Well, my problem with Ubers is that they'll get on the 101 freeway and they'll sit all the way in the right lane the entire journey. And it's like, guys, it's going to be stop and go the entire time if you stay in this lane.
They're going to like go on, go off the freeway.
Yeah.
You're gonna be in that lane.
Oh, dude. So I'm just done with it. I was also going to ask you real quick before we go, because I know you go to the farm up in Fresno.
Yeah.
I was going to say Farizona.
Arizona, Arizona.
You don't get sick of that drive? You go every week.
No, that's a good one because it's very relaxing, to be honest with you. It's like,
because you're by yourself.
You're by yourself. And it's like, you know, like,
you listen to your music and your podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so you make some phone calls. Like this last trip when I left LA, it's like, first of all, you know, the vibe here is, like you said, masks, you know, mm-hmm. people are walking down the street, they're coming toward you. You got to, do I go left? Do I go right? What do I, that? So listen, it's nice to get in the car. You get about, once you get past Magic Mountain, it's like, whew, it just opens up. I mean, it was pretty much open after that, but it's just nice. And then when it really drops down into Bakersfield, it's like the land of Oz, you know, it's
but
like,
you don't want to do that to Sacramento.
No, it's too far. It's like 7 hours probably.
What about your car? Your car's great. You never have no problems driving all that much? Well, put on those miles?
No, I did. I had a, about 8-10 months ago, I had to get a new motor, a different motor for it.
For the Honda?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Does your wife have a car?
Honda, yeah.
You both have two different Hondas?
Hondas, yeah.
Okay.
They're great. I love Hondas.
Hondas are great.
They're great. It's like, but
I just got a new Honda CRV. I traded in the Prius. It's great.
I love Hondas, man.
My wife and I love it. That's pretty much her car, but we love it. I ended up taking it to Arizona because I have a Jeep, and that was in the shop.
But I love it. Once I got in, you know, you just the wide open spaces. I love it. It's like, and it's about a 3-hour drive. That one,
you know,
with the stops.
So Sacramento is going to be it's double that.
Yeah, your back hurts.
I'm done with those, bro. I'm done with those. Like I just did the Arizona one, and I went. I forgot how long these drives feel. I did it. I did it from when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
Until that's what I'm saying. 30. Like I don't want to do.
You could sleep on the plane. You land. Boom. It's an hour 20 or whatever flight. Uh-huh. I think it's like. Yeah.
I'm sick of driving gigs, but right now it's like we all gotta fucking make sacrifices, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know, you asked me what I do for money. Somebody paid me last week to do something I've never done before. People had joked with me before. I've told people, hey, here's how you use this app. Here's how you do this. You want to know how to edit, whatever. And they go, you should teach people. I go, are you kidding me? These millennials, they know exactly. They go, no, do it for people 40 and over. I go, you're right. So I have a buddy. He's like, he goes, can I pay you to come down to Long Beach and show me how to use my phone and my, you know, and it was hilarious because I have a Galaxy phone, but everything else is Apple. Like I have iPad, iMac, all that stuff. I use iMovie, GarageBand. His is the opposite.
Mm.
He has an iPhone, but then his computer is like a Dell, and I didn't.
Oh.
So I'd be like, hey, you need to get this app. And then they don't have the same apps on both platforms.
Right, they don't.
So I'm like, oh, okay, well, we'll get one that's like it. Like I was trying to show him how to save his he does live streams. I was like, here's how you save a live stream. Here's how you edit it. I go, if you don't have iMovie, try InShot. Try this. InShot's good. Now you got to click. And I was trying to show him the little things. Like he was so, like there's certain things he's advanced, but certain things he wasn't. Like this made me laugh. His phone was ringing and I'm trying to show him the stuff. And I go, just hit decline. Yeah. He's like, no. He thought that would block them forever. He thought that would put them in the spam folder.
I can't believe he's doing live stream videos, but he didn't know that.
Exactly. He knows how to do live stream. Like, you know what's funny is he was really like kind of paranoid about the COVID-19.
Yeah.
So he had, at some point, he had a mask on the entire time. And at one point,
did you?
And, a little bit because I saw how he was.
Yeah.
And then he had like gloves on, and also he wouldn't. It was very rare for him to sit close to me. He had his phone hooked up to a television in front of us.
Oh, that's cool.
So there was like this 6-foot table, and so I'm like, no, scroll down. No. That's you're scrolling up. You need to scroll down. It was almost like a comedy of errors.
Oh, that was tough.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, go to your home button. He goes, I don't have a home button because he has an iPhone. It's like, oh my gosh.
Man, I went to Big Bear and like those guys are not even wearing masks. Like I don't even think they watch the news up there. I went up to Big Bear, bro. There was a bar I went into. It was like the bar probably only holds 25 and they had like 100 people there. Like they're just on top of each other. And I was like,
I wouldn't like that. Yeah.
I was like, if I don't get the vid after this, then it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when I was up in Big Bear, my Jeep broke down up there, bro. Well, my alternator burned out.
Mm.
I had to have my Jeep towed all the way back down to L.A.,
Do you have a AAA?
I had AAA.
Good. 100 miles?
200.
Oh, it's 200?
Yeah.
Wow. So wait. It's 200 miles. It was a... Wait.
It's only like 90 something miles from Big Bear to LA.
No, but AAA, you can. I haven't been towed that far for a long time.
You can get 200 miles. You can have a 200 miles package. Oh, okay, because
I think it used to be 100. That's great.
Right. So, yeah, I had that towed all the way back.
Oh, maybe I should just have them tow me to Fresno.
You don't even need to take my car, bro. Just drop me off. No, dude. Yeah. So I had to have it towed all the way back. And then I go, like, I'm just going to rent a car and drive home.
Yeah.
They got to have an airport up here. Dude, no, in Big Bear, you can go anywhere you want without a mask. But no car rental places are open.
Wow.
Not even a U-Haul. So I had to have my buddy drive my Honda up to get me.
Mm.
It was brutal. But I just got my car back yesterday.
That's cool.
$800 later.
Oh, boy.
But that's what happens when you have an older car. You have no car payment, but every now and then stuff's going to break, and you just fix it, you know? So that's the deal.
I'm going to eat. What time is
it? Yeah, go eat, dude. Let's get out of here. Thank you guys. Any other shout-outs?
No, just check out the YouTube channel, Darren Carter. My podcast is called Pocket Party, and Augustino, thanks for having me. And
Sacramento and Stockton at the end of July.
Yes, that's it. Yep.
And you can follow him at official Darren Carter on Instagram. I'm sure he'll be posting those dates. And what's the website?
Oh, yeah, DarrenCarter.com. I very rarely use it, but my PayPal's up there. And if you want to hit that Venmo, which I don't know why you would, but if you want to, it's out there.
Yeah. Like, hey, guys, just give me some money. You don't have to do no. I know you don't want to go to a comedy show. I don't want to do one. Just
Laughter's the best medicine. Yeah. And
just give me the money you were going to give me to go to the comedy show, and we'll just forget the whole thing.
How about that? Back in the old days, before COVID. How about that when people would be like, "Oh, I would buy your stuff, but I already spent all my money at the comedy club," and you're like, "Great."
Thanks
for helping this multi-million-dollar organization. You know, because if you got $40, if I got $40, it goes way further than
Yeah.
Blah, 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 Uncle Blah, Blah, Blah's Club, you know.
Right.
You know.
Uncle Clyde, I don't know. Is that even a comedy club?
Or just whatever. I didn't want to say improv.
Uncle Improv.
I love the improv, but you know what I mean.
Uncle Improv sounds like you have a creepy uncle.
Who say yes and?
Yeah.
Yes and?
We used to call him Uncle Improv. Why'd you call him that?
He's made to say yes and.
All right, man.
I got to eat. And I
Go
eat.
Eat something, bro. I'm getting dizzy just from being in here. It's too hot. Oh, yeah. Thank you guys for listening. I want to give a big thank you to Darren Carter. I want to give a big thank you.
Hit that Venmo. Darren Carter comic.
It is Venmo up. I want to give a big thank you to Kevin Lyons, the co-host of the Homeschool Podcast, for doing all the editing work. And thank all of you guys who listen to the Homeschool Podcast. If you're new, I hope you enjoyed it and you come back again. And if you're returning, thank you so much for the loyal support. Until next time, I'm Augustino Zoida, and this is Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.